Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. The drive is live. And I want to make a correction. I do not have you. I do not. I did have some people the 2 Fridays ago, but I do not have you
this week. Is that wrong?
But you come in here, you can get you some boneless wings, and you get a little 2-for-1. All right, you order 6, they give you 12 on the house. So you can come out here and get a good deal out here.
One of them tender eating Tyler happy hours.
Absolutely.
Man. I mean,
beautiful.
Hey, Tyler, I know where Tyler's stopping as soon as the show's over. What? I can get 6 free
six
on
for
Tyler.
12, baby.
I think you get 12 and get 12
you
free.
Get you get 12 and get 20. Yeah.
Yeah. Free tenders on a Thursday?
Yes.
Right, that's right.
Yo, tender happy hour. Look, I'm talking about chicken tenders, y'all. I ain't talking about Ron's shake joint he was at.
Right. 702, bastards.
I love that you brought that story up, because literally I was in Reggie and Figgy's ear in that exact moment telling them that.
No, it's just real talk, man. I still had, like, as I'm sitting here kind of processing it, it has a real feel of Jim Nantz. Like, anytime I think about it, I arrive right at that place again.
You just shut up and let me do
I can't
my
believe,
job.
Like, when she gave me the, I got to go to South Bend story, like, get the hell on. Somebody on the...
She could have been telling the truth.
She may have been, but that's on you. From the text line, class act, Ron. Ignorance isn't a defense. No, it is. All right. Like I said, I paid it. I mean, I feel like I really didn't have any choice with some of the bounces, but I paid it.
Well, here's the problem where I think folks that know you, Ron, are running into. And we're talking about Ron not wanting to pay for 3 songs worth of lap dances at the shake. Here's where I think most people that know you probably have a little bit of a pushback here. Is... I know that when that 3rd song was over and she got up, you didn't think that was $20 worth of dancing.
Oh, most definitely.
You're a sharp dude. You knew 3 songs into that thing. You knew she was going to turn around after
the show.
I didn't. I really didn't.
Hey, that'd have been the busiest stripper in Nashville, Chief.
I trusted her at her word.
Hey, all right. $20, 3 songs? Hey, she'd have had a line.
She said 60. I said 60 what? Dollars?
61. Dollars?
Hey,
doll hairs?
Hey, buddy was over there quick, too.
the security
and
or whatever?
Within 2 minutes, maybe. He was over there quick as we had discussion. I said, well, why you get up after the 3rd one? How come you didn't take it to 5? Shoot, man, I don't know.
Apparently, you look like an old boy carrying $60, not $100.
Now, listen, I ain't gonna lie to you, man. This was, how old was I? About 20? 21. That may have been my second or third time being in the strip. All right. And I mean, hey, that $60, that was a lot. I told you I had to go to the damn ATM machine. And, you know, they hit me for an extra $5, $6.
Yes, indeed.
Threw that card in there.
Yes, indeed.
Like it's Vegas.
Hey, it don't matter. You better take your cash to the shake joint, take your cash to the casino. Because if you got to use that ATM at either one of them joints, they're going to get you for a $6, $7 service
fee. I appreciate
it's gonna
the text
hurt,
line.
Boy.
It's a common stripper scam. I appreciate that. No, it is. I'll be honest with you. Now that I think about it, it seemed like a good move if I were her. All right, enough with the strippers. No strippers here, but great food, great drink, and some prizes you can get hooked up with. We're at Buffalo Wild Wings here in Houston off Washington Avenue, 3939 Washington Avenue. We'll be here until 6 o'clock. Get on out here. And enjoy yourself. And as we said, man, we got prizes. We're going to hook you up with some Dolphins tickets. You got a chance to win a pair of Dolphins tickets, Visa gift cards. All you got to do is sign your name, put it in our raffle box that you currently can't put it in right now. But here in just a second, you will be able to put it in our raffle box as soon as it's put down right here at the table. As soon as you come in, you won't miss it. And add your name into that, and you'll have a chance to win a pair of tickets and other prizes throughout. So we appreciate it. By the way, I told you, Clint, coming in, I'm switching over. I'm going straight sweatsuits and track suits. I broke out the cream one today for the first time, head to toe, baby. I walked out. Courtney said, "What are you doing?"
She
said, "I didn't think you were serious about this."
Is that my boy Ron?
I'm dead ass.
I think you misunderstood her. I think she said, "Where are you going?" I think she saw it and was like, "God, look at my man walking out that door."
I'm telling you
see them
straight
You see on Instagram them old commercials. I mean, them old ads where them women the men are trying to go to the gym with some tight shorts on or something. They're like, "You ain't going nowhere like that." That's what Courtney was doing. Courtney looked at you and said, "Where are you going like that?"
Nelly, baby.
Hey, I'm gonna tell y'all out there, man.
If you
call
YouTube,
a spade a spade now, my boy Ron.
If you're on YouTube and Twitch, ooh, you see the top, the pants just the same color.
Hey, my man went cream tracksuit, cleaner than the Board of Health, and he got them black J's on with it. I'm telling you, man, he put it together, man. It is cold blooded. You ought to have about 5-6 of them right there, all different colors, Chief.
I saw that purple one too. Don't worry.
Hey.
There was a purple one head to toe, baby. Don't worry. I get it. I get that Barney out here. Don't worry. I'm gonna get that Barney out here real quick. All right. Coming up here in just a bit, next segment, we'll hear from the man who broke the game open in Dallas, Derek Barnett, who got a strip sack, and then after Jalen Petrie stripped the offensive lineman who decided to try to run with it, Derek Barnett scooped it up and scored. We'll talk to him. He'll join the drive coming up here in the next segment, so stay tuned for that. All right, Clint, Nick Caserio spoke for about 45 minutes on Payne and Pendergast. If you missed it, you might want to go back on the Odyssey app and find that. That happened at 7:30. So an hour or two, you can listen to the whole thing overlapping at hour three, and I would suggest you go and catch that long form. But there are a lot of things he talked about, and Clint, one of the things I know that jumped out to you was his thoughts about Joe Mixon and specifically his touches and the workload. This was Nick Caserio discussing what happens and how many carries and touches Joe Mixon's getting.
Joe's been, I mean, knock on wood, for the most part, he's been a very, I know he missed a few games here during the year, a very durable and productive player. So we'll do what we think is best. I mean, we've had opportunities. We've had to use some different backs. You know, we had to use Cam there a little bit when he was on a team and gave us some plays. DP's given us some plays. JJ Taylor's given us some plays when he's had to go on a field. So we'll just figure out Dare as well, made some critical plays. So we'll use everybody, but Joe's one of our best players. So anytime that we can get the ball in his hands is usually a lot of positives that come with that. So, but love everything about Joe Mixon, love everything that he's brought to the football team, have a tremendous amount of respect and admiration for him, having played against him and now being on the same side as him. I mean, it's been really impressive.
All right. As he talked there, he didn't seem to be concerned about the workload and how many touches that Joe Mixon is getting. And obviously he has missed some games, right? We've seen him injured. When you go back to training camp, a couple of times he's had to miss some significant
time. That
weak
ass him drop tackle.
Yeah, that hip drop tackle got him for about two or three games. But if you take away the game when he returned against the Patriots, where I think he had 14 touches, he's been getting the ball. He's been around 25-plus touches a game throughout. And to a point you made yesterday, hell, they didn't feel comfortable only giving another running back one carry against the Cowboys.
Yeah.
What's the concern level from you, the people you can join in and give your thoughts as well on the 5-Hour Energy Fan text line? What's your concern with Joe Mixon's workload?
Well, it's high. I'm really concerned, and it's multiple reasons here. One, if you just look at Joe Mixon's workload, we can't minimize this. I understand what Nick's doing, but you can't minimize this, right? And he's the only running back in the top 15 running backs in terms of production, in terms of number of carries. He's the only running back on the list of top 15 that doesn't have 10 or 11 games that he's played in. He's only played in 8 games.
Bully ball, what?
He's from a carry perspective, he's in the company with guys that have played in 10 or 11 games, right? Jonathan Taylor is the closest running back to him, which I think he's like 16 or 17 in carries, with 150 carries in 8 games. So the same number of games, which, by the way, the 8 games for Joe Mixon is including the game against, who was it, the Bears?
There's where he got injured.
Where he got injured. So he missed, I think, a half of that at very least, if not three quarters, right, of the football. He went out for halftime in that game, didn't he?
Yeah, he tried to come back a couple times
right.
in the second half, but
when
not
they taped
much.
It up. Yeah, yeah.
Not much.
So that's including that. So the whether you look, there's several ways you can look at it. Just look at the sheer number of carries and the company that he's keeping. Literally, the guys that are in the same range or have a few more have played 10 or 11 games versus 8 games. And so, clearly, the load is big time, second to nobody in the league on Joe Mixon. Okay, now you fast forward and just look at the Sunday game day action, what the tape tells you. Two things. One, he's the best thing that this offense does, the most reliable thing that this offense does, so you're going to have a hard time getting away from him. And number two, he runs as physical as anybody in the league, right? He runs more physical than Saquon Barkley. I'm not taking anything from Saquon Barkley, but Saquon's got a little bit more shake to him, a little bit more outrun you to him, where Mixon is interested in running downhill. And then I'll say that Derrick Henry is a guy that's just built a little bit different. And even if he does have the same run style, it doesn't take near the punishment because of how big he is. So you look at the tape and you say, okay, well, Joe's got to work something here out with Joe. And then the third layer of this, Ron, is you look at the backup running back role. In a game last week where you were up 3 scores in the fourth quarter with 7 minutes left, you're out there running Joe Mixon, and I believe it was not because you needed Joe Mixon. I don't believe you trusted Damian Pierce to go out there and just execute the run game. And so, it's all these different layers that lead you to believe that not only has the workload been through the roof, but also there's really no alternative. What do you do offensively if you take him out of the game at the running back position? What do you do offensively if you take him out of the game in terms of producing offense? And I'm not minimizing or downplaying CJ and Nico and all these guys, but clearly the best thing this offense does is Joe Mixon. And so it's got to be on the front of mind of D'Amico, of Nick, of Bobby Slowick, of everybody involved, of we got to keep him rolling now.
Bad mf'er.
Yes, he is. I believe he can handle it. But at some point, we've got to get somebody in there that we believe, with a 3-score game in the fourth quarter, if and when that happens, we got to say, hey, Joe, you take the fourth quarter off, partner. We got somebody else that'll go in here and take this beating. Well, at the very least, you got to find that right there, man.
It's a big deal just because the way that it seems like you're built right now to beat, and your best chance to beat the top teams is your defense and run game, and playing off of the run game and defense.
Yes,
and it's not just the run game, which is clear this year. It is the Joe Mixon run game, because it does not appear that anybody else can have the traction that Joe Mixon has in the run game. So
yeah.
It is specifically the Joe Mixon run game and the defense. And if you don't have Joe Mixon there, clearly the offense looks different and the run game looks different without him. So he has to be there for the Texans. So that is something. And I've said this a lot, Clint. These guys are professional liars. I think they understand that, and I think they know that, and I think they know that Joe has been injured multiple times. As Nick was saying there, knock on wood, he's been durable. Well, he's missed three games. Like, I mean, he's missed 2.5 games. So you know that's there. You know his age at 28. So it's got to be something they're looking at. And and as you said, if it's not Damian Pierce, somebody has got to come through and be at least an option for him to go.
I'm at a spot where like, my, you know, we're always talking about, hey, man, like, what guy have we not seen that gets you excited, that you'd like to see more of, especially in this run where you got Tennessee and Jacksonville, teams that you could very well have a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter with 5 minutes and you just need some. Like, I'm at a point where I want to see J.J. Taylor.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a different shake there. I don't know that he's going to be your number two back. I don't know that he's big enough, to be honest with you, and has the play style in this offense to complement Joe Mixon as a long-term answer. Like, I'm say long-term, three or four-year answer as a backup. I do believe that if he gets some experience, he could very easily be a third-down back. He's shifty. He can move. He can do some things explosive. I would like to see him in that backup role. I've seen enough that I believe he could be a guy that could be a game changer, and I want to see a little bit more and see if he could be a potential answer there.
Well, speaking of game changer, a guy that changed the game, Derek Barnett. He will join The Drive coming up next as we continue live on a Thirsty Thursday right here at Buffalo Wild Wings.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings, Washington Ave, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live here on The Drive, on the road, Thirsty Thursday, as we're getting you ready for the Texans and the Titans. Remember, coming up here in just a minute, we're expecting to hear from Derek Barnett, defensive end for your Houston Texans. Got a big defensive touchdown last week. He should be coming up here very, very soon. We'll go out to him and have a little conversation with Derek Barnett. But remember, if you are in the building or on your way here to Buffalo Wild Wings, 3939 Washington Avenue here in Houston, you got a chance to win a pair of tickets. Pair of tickets to see the Miami Dolphins take on your Houston Texans at NRG coming up. Also, your chance to hear, or your chance to win a couple of $25 Visa gift cards as well. All you got to do is sign your name and put it in our raffle box right here at the table in front of us. If you're in the building, you can go ahead and knock that out right now if you have not done so. If you're on your way, you might want to do that as well. Your chance to win some tickets and some Visa gift cards courtesy of Bud Light. Our good friends at Bud Light should be in here as well with other things for you throughout the day here. We're here till 6 o'clock, a little Thirsty Thursday. Clint, real quick before we talk to Derek Barnett, another defensive end who he has been getting a little bit more action due to him being out, Clint, Will Anderson Jr. practiced for a second day in a row and is trending towards playing, reports are saying, in the game on Sunday against the Titans. Blake Fisher did not practice and is trending the other way. The backup tackle, second-round pick with that concussion issue. So those are the two big things there. And I'm telling you, boy, it is interesting to see. All we heard last week was, I mean, this may be weeks, maybe December is what we were hearing, and getting ready for the stretch run. And as you said, I've just been thinking about them ankles I feel better about. It looks like it is healed up to this point where we may see him coming up on Sunday, which would be big for this team.
Well, the beautiful thing is, especially with Derek Barnett coming up here in a second on the show, is the depth at that defensive end position, that edge rusher position for the Texans is tremendous. I mean, it allows you. D'Amico Ryans has the luxury to say, "Hey, look, I don't necessarily need to push Will Anderson to get back." I mean, look, there's nobody that's going to replace Will and what Will brings to this defense, but there's very competent, very you know, I think impactful defensive ends in that room, more than one, that fill the void when one of these top guys are out. So it's a luxury that D'Amico has. But it being an ankle, typically, you know, once they start making their way back, and I say that, I've been wrong twice with ankles so far, but when they start making their way back like that, once he can go full speed, turn the corner, they start putting a tackle, leaning on him, guys going at his legs, and he's comfortable avoiding that, then he'll be back in action, no doubt.
Yeah, it'll be a big impact to see. But as we know, that is right. That may be the strongest position group on the team. I think that the edge pass rusher, the defensive end. I mean, they go deep within that. You know, with Derek Barnett coming behind and Jerry Hughes from behind and D'Amico Autry, another guy. They are really, really deep at that position. So that's one where, they can have a little injury.
The top two guys obviously have different gears. But when you talk about, like, expected production from the defensive end position, let's be honest, it doesn't drop much from one guy to the next. And whether you expect that or not,
not like other positions.
Not like other positions, right? I mean, those other guys get in there. When you talk about setting the edge, being where you're supposed to be, and now you've gotten these guys that somehow, some way, they're supposed to be longer in the tooth, veteran-type defensive ends that need to be load managed. And, hell, every opportunity they get a chance to play, they're in the backfield getting TFLs. They're in the backfield getting sacks. They're in the backfield causing fumbles and scoring touchdowns. And so I don't think there's even a close second, to be honest, when you look at the depth and the way that the depth has impacted games. We watched D'Amico Autry for two straight games get sacks and force fumbles in the backfield. The first game he came back, he had two. There was the second game he came back,
second,
he had two sacks.
Second game, yep.
He followed that up with the strip and the interception that ended up in the Toa Toa interception last week.
With the Lions.
Versus the Lions. Yep. And I mean, it's just one, if not two, of those guys, the depth guys at the defensive end position, it seems like every game find a way to show up and stand out in the box score. So, yeah, it's a big-time luxury that D'Amico Ryans has with this group.
All right, speaking of one of those guys, we're just talking about the big luxury and the guys that have stepped up. Derek Barnett, he joins us. Derek, we appreciate you taking the time to catch up with us.
Hello.
Hey, there we go.
Hey, what up?
Yeah, Derek, you had me talking to myself for a few seconds there. No, man, we appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, what I got to know is, man, because there was some thoughts that you almost didn't make it to the end zone last week. I don't know. I felt like that you was just coasting and that you never even picked it up to high speed. How was it once you picked it up and you're coming down the sideline? Was you barely making it, or was you just jogging and coasting?
I know. We, as a D-line, you get the ball, you get in, we going to the end zone. So, shoot, that's our goal. We get the ball in our hands, we trying to go toward it. We ain't trying to just recover it.
Hey, Derek, talk us through that play, because the only other guy that's done that, I believe with the Texans, I know the last guy that did it was your head coach, D'Amico Ryans, in terms of getting a strip sack, recovering it for a touchdown. Walk us through that play and kind of how you saw it, how you got to the quarterback, how you ended up with the rock and scoring.
I was just trying to get off the rock, and then – shoot, I don't even know what happened after that. Turned the corner, reach, and then ball came out. I seen D Hort and Petrie fighting for it. Petrie came up and just literally killed that dude, and then the ball popped back out. So we were just trying to get into the end zone after that.
Derek Barnett joining us, defensive end for the Texans. We were just talking about this, that your position group feels like the strongest position group on the team. What's the competition like as deep as you guys are every day since the start of training camp up to this point?
Oh, it's great, man. We got a great room. It's fun, like, practicing with these guys. A lot of experience on the team. Like, D-Hunt, he popped it off this past week. And then after he popped it off, and the Nico got one, and the gates just started opening, and everybody was just rushing. Timmy got home on a great rush, too. So I feel like one dude get home, then everybody just trying to get on the action.
Hey, Derek, talk to us a little bit about the youngster in that room, man, Will Anderson. I mean, I do the post-game show with Sean Pendergast, and we've had Will on a couple of times over the last 2 years, and he's talked about the dynamic from being the young guy in the room, man, and I know it seems to be just a really cool, I guess dynamic is the right word, with all of you guys that are longer in the tooth, veterans that have played, kind of, you know, dealing with and helping raise up and you know, on a day-to-day basis, Will Anderson, one of the better players, one of the better edge guys in the league. What about that dynamic in that room with you old heads taking care of him?
Man, it's crazy because Will's only in year two. When I came here last year, he was a rookie, but he don't act like it. He got great leadership skills, and the way he comes to practice every day, he practices hard as hell, so it's no surprise when he go out there and make plays. Because it starts during the week, and like he practices like he's playing in a game, so him making plays, man, nobody be surprised by that. But I think the better thing about Will is like he's such a great leader, and he's one of the youngest guys in the room.
Derek, is there something there, D, with like, because everybody's talked about him, has said this. I hadn't heard from one of the DNs, but like, is there a point in time where one of you guys have to be like, hey, young fella? Like, you're going to hurt yourself on a Wednesday practice, man. You got to, I mean, on a Friday practice, on a Friday walkthrough, you got to chill out a little bit. I mean, is there some of that in kind of managing him from a veteran perspective?
I mean, you definitely want a guy to be like that during practice versus being the other way. But, you know, I think, you know, Mika always says, you know, stay up. We want to practice right. We want to practice hard and compete during practice, but we also want to keep our guys healthy during practice and keep everybody off the ground. So he definitely, Miko emphasizes that.
All right, Derek, coming into the year, I think a lot of people looked at this team and thought this is going to be an offensive-led team. But now that we're through 10, 11 weeks, it appears that this defense is a special unit. And when you look at all the metrics and the numbers, it's one of the best defenses in football. At what point did you get the feel? You've been in this league. You've played on defenses in Philly here. At what point did you get the feel that this was going to be a special group?
I think early on you could see it. I think early on you can see we got the pieces of being a great team, a special defense. But, I mean, it's going to take everybody. It's going to take the offense. It's going to take the defense playing great. It's going to take special team playing well. In all three phases, I think if all three phases play well and just feed off of everybody, I think that's where you start seeing, you know, some teams go up or some teams go down. So it's not just one side. It's not just one side. It's literally all three phases in football.
Hey, Derek, real quick, man, on this week's opponent, man, you're from Nashville, played at Tennessee. Which I've got a long history with, by the way. We'll talk about that on a different day.
Oh, I didn't know you was from Nashville.
He's from Nashville. But we got the Titans this week, man. What's any growing up there and watching them and you know, obviously being closer to that program, NFL program than any. Is there any special feel this week of you know, playing those guys, or is it just another game?
I mean, it's a big game because it's the next game, so I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it, but. Yeah, being from Nashville, you grew up watching the home team. You know, I grew up watching Steve McNair and Jamon Curse and Keith Bullock and all them cats, Corey Finnegan. But at the end of the day, it's the next game up, so it's the big one, and we just got to execute and just bring that energy. Like, it's a week-to-week, just the NFL, it's week-to-week league.
Damn, we a little different age group right now. I was going to see if you ran to the same spots that I ran to in Nashville, but I think we are a little distant in age here. I didn't know if he slid down to Graham Central Station on Broadway like I did a few times. So I'll keep that to myself. But man, we appreciate you joining us, man, and good luck this week going back home to take on the Titans.
Oh yeah, I appreciate y'all. Y'all take care.
All right, that's Derek Barnett right there. You think he hit the same spots that we did?
Nah, I know he did not hit. I mean, my years down there, I mean, Nashville has changed significantly. There ain't but a couple of spots that have the same name, and I don't know that Barnett, unless he was chasing a random in there, he wasn't in them spots.
I wonder if he was. I bet he was at that one spot I got.
Hey, unless his nose was down on the concrete on the sniffing something, on the trail or something. He wasn't hanging it in.
There was a place called The Spot.
Yeah, I know where you're at.
After hours. Let out at 6 o'clock in the morning, Tyler. That's what time it
Great Galveston out. Restaurant.
Opened up at 2 o'clock, let out at 6. I got into some trouble in that place one time. I feel like that's the spot.
If I'm not mistaken, I think some of my teammates when I played with the Nashville Cats started that.
Did they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the first time I ever saw cocaine.
At one time it was a bringer. It was a juice bar.
It was definitely BYOB.
Yeah, you had to bring your alcohol in. They'd sell you, of course, high dollar. They'd sell you all the juices and all the mixes
and BYOC.
I tell you off air when I got in trouble with a little BYOB situation in the spot. All right, coming up as we continue here live here at Buffalo Wild Wings Thirsty Thursday. We're here at the Buffalo Wild Wings off Washington Avenue. Come on out and join us. Your chance to win prizes, including tickets to the Dolphins game coming up next month. But do you believe Deion Sanders? This is becoming a really, really big story, and there was something that has been added that's kind of making this story a little bit more crazier. We'll discuss that.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Coming up next.
I want the dogs.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends in Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings, Washington Ave, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live here, Thirsty Thursday, here on The Drive. We appreciate Derek Barnett for joining us we have a good time with him. We appreciate him joining us, and hopefully they'll get rolling and have everybody there coming up on Sunday, and they can get things done in Tennessee. All right, Clint, this situation that's starting to brew about Deion Sanders and the connections with potential openings that are going to be around.
Where are they? In
college football, but really the Cowboys situation is really picking up some steam. Clint, a lot of people are talking about, oh, we may go back the deal with Jerry, as we know Mike McCarthy's going to be done. Well, he made a statement that said, I got the kickstand down. I'm happy. I'm excited. I'm enthusiastic about where I am. I love it here. That's what Deion said about the question that was posed to him about taking other jobs. And to even solidify that even more, Julian Lewis, five-star quarterback,
Juju,
who was committed to USC, he decommitted and has committed to Colorado now, and he's the top quarterback in this class. He's going to go to Colorado. A lot of people thought, and I'll be honest with you, that's where I was, that Deion, he's going to bounce when Travis Hunter and his son leaves from Colorado and go somewhere. I don't know now. I didn't really believe him when he was talking about the kickstand stuff. But Clint, now that you see this, like, you can see the next wave potentially coming behind Shadur and Travis Hunter, that Colorado might be a spot that he's comfortable with and a place that he would stay.
Well, I've said it multiple times. I think living in the Big 12 is the way to be. I mean, you got a it's the path of least resistance to get to the college football playoff now that it's 12 teams. It's the path of least resistance for any conference out there. It just, there's, if you put together a powerhouse in the Big 12 right now, and you find a way to sustain it, which, you know, we'll see if Deion can do that, then you can damn near guarantee yourself a spot in the college football playoff every single year with 12 teams. And so, I think it's a great spot. Here's the problem with Deion, because this is all about do you believe Deion or not.
And yeah, this becoming more believable.
Well, I think it's day to day, right? Here's the problem is just like Jackson State was for him, right? He mentioned about wanting to be, you know, had all the right intentions when he went to an HBCU and he went to Jackson State and he had all the bringing these guys with him. He had the intentions to stay and yada yada yada. There was always going to be, given what he was up against, no matter how much he won, there was always going to be a justifiable reason for Deion Sanders to bow out.
Yeah.
There was always good, right? Like, I mean, it was just, he was always going to be, and people, and I understand that. Everybody understands it down to a certain degree. Everybody, even the folks that are HBCU guys, that are Jackson State folks, can understand it to a certain degree. And you got to move on from it. That exists at Colorado too.
Yeah, because he can. I mean,
if Deion ends up leaving, he can very easily say, "Hey, man, I was at a place where, man, it's just hard to get. It's hard to get these kids from L.A. and from Miami. It's hard to get these kids. It's hard to sell Colorado. It's hard to sell. You know, he's always going to be able to say, boy, the climb was just too steep to get done what I needed to get done, and I had to make this change for my career. He's always going to be able to say that. And so I don't know whether you believe Prime or you don't believe Prime. I do, to your overall point, I think, in talking about it now, I do believe with this kid, Julian Lewis committing, there's also a big-time tackle, which he got the kid last year that played really well this year for him, the freshman that was a five-star. There's also a big five-star tackle that was at the game with this Julian Lewis kid that is one of the top tackles in the country that I believe he's committed to USC too, and he's on the verge of flipping. So it is
and
one of those.
And it's not like if he says he's going to go to Florida State or another SEC team that he can't do what he did with Travis
and take those
and
guys
son.
With him. Yeah, if he stays in college, he can take those guys with him. Yeah, it's just a – there's always going to be an – until he gets to a spot like Florida State, one of the blue bloods, where the brand is just bigger and you're always going to be given the benefit of the doubt. Until he gets there, he's always going to have a justifiable reason to leave after saying he wants to be there forever. And Deion's shown the ability to do that already. And – you know, it's the business. I'm not knocking Deion for it. Hell, it's a business. It's part of it, man.
I'm not sure I believe him yet, because I'm starting to think I can see that Deion is about staying in college. I feel stronger about that with this, because this means he could, like, this kid can just go wherever Deion goes. And then, like, because there's a thought, too, that, all right, how different is the ACC to the Big 12? Like, if I go to Florida State in my home spot, Florida, where I can recruit easier, how different is that? But I do feel a lot better about the fact that he may stay in college as opposed to, because to me, I thought, like, hey, man, Jerry comes to Dallas, like, that's a done deal. My son's going. Travis Hunter, like another son, is going.
Well, that's a great point, because if he does have full intentions of never going to the league and just staying in college, even if it is somewhere else, you know, now the way the game is played, he can just take his 10 or 15 five-stars that he has, he can take them with him and absolutely change. I mean, he could make more money. He'd be more valuable in a coaching cycle, because he knows that you know, schools know that could potentially happen, on top of the fact that he appears to be a pretty good builder of a program anyway. I just find this hard to believe right here. I find it hard to believe that if Jerry Jones walked into Deion Sanders and said, I'm going to make all the necessary moves to be able to put myself at number one and draft your son, and we're willing to pay, like, Jerry should be willing to pay Deion Sanders a lot more than he's worth because of all of the advertising free advertising you get with that move on a week-to-week basis.
We've seen
that.
What's your
point? I mean, Jackson State never had that kind of visibility. Colorado's never had this kind of visibility. Now, the Cowboys have had big-time visibility as much as any program out there or organization out there. But, boy, you talk about somebody that needs some positive press right now, it's a damn Cowboy. So I find it hard to believe that if Jerry walked in there and said, it's a blank check, and we're going to get your boy, and you can personally control the first 3 or 4 years of his career at the NFL level.
Don't tell me what I'm saying.
I'd have a hard time thinking he'd pass that up, boss.
It's the only thing is, one, I don't think he can, and maybe you would see towards the end of the season, but can control if he can get Shadur, right? Like if the right team comes up, if the Raiders are the number one pick, like I don't know that Jerry can do something to go get him. And, like, the control part. Wherever, if Deion stays in Colorado or goes to Florida State, baby, he's got 100% control of everything that happens. If he goes to Dallas, you know, Jerry is still there.
Yeah.
And the Jones
family
is still there. And and Deion seems to really love to have 100% control. Hell, he's controlled the media in Denver to where they won't even allow certain people to ask questions. Like, and I think Deion does like that. So I don't know. It is going to be something to watch because this story keeps changing and twisting.
Yeah. I think one of the more fascinating things about Deion Sanders and Prime, the way he's doing things, is like the Warren Sapp angle. Like, when you put something together like this, like Deion's doing, And you bring in that caliber guy, and he ends up being, and you almost coach him into coaching, and like teach him how to coach, and teach him how to do the, like it's gonna be unstoppable from a recruiting perspective. I don't know, and even with the NIL,
Phil,
like
Lowe,
if you can come in, and I'm getting coached by Warren Sapp, and he's a good coach. I'm not talking about just a name that they're throwing out there, but he ends up being a great coach. Has done the things that Warren Sapp has done, and now all of a sudden this dude was raised just like you, same spot. He can relate to that guy a lot more than you can the old gray headed man that was a wide receiver back in the '60s. I mean that is a fascinating dynamic of what Deion's doing, because it's going to be, if they can do it right and they can win in the process, it is going to be unbelievably powerful.
How confident, Texans fans, are you? You can chime in on the text line, YouTube and Twitch. How confident are you in your Houston Texans when it comes to close games, especially against good teams? We'll discuss that coming up next.